today's digital world, gone are the days of randomly bumping into someone at a coffee shop. Now, dates are pre-arranged, pre-screened, and single people increasingly feel that apps are the only way to find love. I'm Christy Eye, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be delving into the complexities of modern dating, from the digital landscapes of dating apps to the intriguing world of companionships and sugar daddies. Love may be priceless, but romance often comes with a cost. Online dating has grown in popularity in recent years, and this trend is projected to continue. In 2022, there were over 366 million online dating service users, generating over $2.86 billion for these sites. 35% of Americans who have used a dating website or app have paid to do so at some point. The average paying dating app user spends around $19 a month, but some people shell out much more. The League's VIP membership costs $999 a week, or $2,500 a month. The VIP membership allows users to match with prospects in multiple cities, see singles, new singles first, and a user concierge service that will help you win the dating game. In September, Tinder, which traditionally was more of a hookup app, is the online dating behemoth. It revolutionized the online dating industry with simple systems of swiping left or right based on a few photos. It made dating simple, and studies have found that it made it less about lasting connections and relationships and more about casual hookups and cheesy openers. It was the most downloaded app in 2022, with a total of 64 million worldwide downloads. Tinder is now the most prominent dating service in the U.S. overall, followed by Match and eHarmony. While traditionally free to sign up, they have now rolled out a $499 monthly subscription to some of its most active users. Hinge, a dating site that touts itself for curating people who are serious about finding a long-term relationship, costs around $600 for the entire year. Americans now spend hundreds of dollars a month on these dating apps, and these dating apps, in response, are trying to entice users with exclusive memberships and unique perks. Coffee Meets Bagel users pay $35 a month, and they can send virtual flower bouquets. They advertise that paid users get 60% more dates than its non-subscribers. Ultimately, many people pay to use these dating apps because it gives them a sense of control over a process that often feels full of uncertainty. And once you manage to schedule a date, the costs don't end. In 2019, Americans spent an average of $697 to go on dates, whether it was on dining out, attending a concert, visiting museums, or otherwise. On average, Gen X spends the most on dates at $903, followed by millennials at $696, baby boomers at $632, and finally, Gen Z at $366. This is likely due to the amount of disposable income that they have compared to Gen Zers. Over the course of a year, the average person has gone on $3,000 worth of dates, with 54% of men usually paying. On top of dates, there are also gifts for special occasions like holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, etc., that can quickly add up. So while you can't put a price on love, many people are priced out. One in three Americans have actually declined a date because of monetary reasons. And now today, we're joined by Megan Wex, relationship coach and author of TheManFunnel.com. Now, Megan, how has the rise of dating apps transformed the way people approach relationships?
The dating apps have created an abundance of options, which in some ways is great to learn about, you know, your criteria and what you might be seeking and to explore, which I find to be an incredibly important part of your journey to find love. And then on the flip side, the abundance creates a culture of the BBD, which we say here in America is the bigger, better deal.
And do you think that this change is for the better or for the worse, that people are not meeting organically anymore?
I think that there's an epidemic of loneliness in the world right now, and the availability of access to other people online, it's so counterintuitive, but it's contributing to people wanting to stay at home. There's so much access of what you can do from your phone now or your computer that people aren't attending as many live events anymore. And I hear less and less about people actually connecting and meeting in person. And so I think that that's challenging, and especially with younger generations, they don't even have the social skills anymore to approach, converse, network properly. You know, it's becoming just elusive to them. And so I think the dating apps are contributing to not only our epidemic of loneliness, but the feeling of access, of finding someone new very quickly, not working through perhaps relationship problems because you know you can just dip right back on the app. And in order to win in love in this modern age, it is critically important that two people understand their contribution to relationship problems and are willing to work through them.
Do you think that this swipe culture has given people the mentality that they can always do better?
I think the dating apps are contributing to the culture of people feeling like there is always another option. In fact, I see new couples through my practice. I'm a dating coach and I help people navigate new relationships. And what I've seen is like when there's an argument or a little bit of an impasse, right? The person is self-soothing by going on the app and just seeing, you know, what they can get or for that dopamine hit to feel better.
Do the premium features and subscription plans in dating apps really work? Or are they just gimmicky monetization tools that they're using to capitalize on unhappy singles?
If you really want to find love, I want you to know that some of the things I'm sharing may feel discouraging, but because we're humans and our desire to partner is not going anywhere. So if you're hearing me right now and you're feeling like a discouraged, I want you to know that there is someone out there that wants love, commitment, and partnership, and to hold their relationship in high integrity, just like you. And there is a way to navigate these apps, even for free, where you can absolutely meet people who have strong intentions for love and relationships, marriage and family, just like you. So to answer your question, the bells and whistles of the upgrades of the dating apps can be very helpful, okay? But they can also have drawbacks. Human nature is, and this is studied in human psychology, that optionality is just, you know, confuses us. And it may keep you feeling that there's even more and more people instead of having that anticipation of your specific matches and studying them in a deeper way. You might just, if you have an indefinite amount of swipes, you just might keep swiping and you may end up having a lower chance of meeting someone than the person who has less options. See what I'm saying? So it's counterintuitive and a little tricky. But if you are working with someone really skilled who's going to help you not swipe too fast or swipe, you know, without giving the person the attention that's deserved, like what I do is I help my clients to take that, not just a first look, but we go back and forth about each candidate and say, hey, here's why he might be good. Here's why I suggest that this person is worthy of at least a conversation. Can you at least have a conversation? Because here's what I want you to know, especially if you're a hetero female, is that hetero males are having the most difficulty on the apps because the hetero females want only the top 10% of these people who are usually in your highlights. Dating apps know this. And so what they do is they make you pay, essentially, I'm just using Hinge as an example, but other apps are doing similar things. They make you pay extra to reach those top 10% because they know that women are after only those top 10%. So what I'm encouraging my clients is that there are so many wonderful people on the apps. And if you can open your eyes and look closer and read between the lines and see what could intrigue you about that profile, you may very well be surprised.
In your opinion, how has the business aspect of dating apps influenced the quality of relationships formed through these platforms?
Relationships in modern day are only as good as somebody's growth mindset and ability to look at their contribution toward problems in a relationship. A smart partner knows that the problems that they bring or are receiving within patterns in their lives and then their relationships will repeat if they don't take the opportunity with their current partner to learn and grow and walk through that issue together. We're trading in partners in hopes that the next one's going to be better. And yes, during the honeymoon phase, while the dopamine is there, while we still both have our masks on, you know, we both come to a relationship, two people come to a relationship with a persona and conditioning that they've been brought up with in their community and their parents for their whole lives. And people bring a face to a relationship of which they think is more lovable. And only after a few years in a relationship does the mask slip, really, and the true authentic person comes out. Now, somebody who has done their inner work and their therapy and has read a bit about healthy relationships and is actually bringing their authentic self to the table from moment one is going to attract a more authentic person. And that can be an incredible relationship. So there are people doing their work. There are people who have had poor relationships, toxic relationships, who are doing their inner work and their therapy, and they know their contribution. They're willing to look at it. And as they move forward, they're willing to have these conversations with others. This is the trend. This is what I see in the future of relationships. These people who are commitment oriented, who are willing to do the work, can find and will be able to maintain beautiful partnerships. Those of whom who go out and they continue to date with blinders on and they aren't doing their inner work, they're going to run into problems. They're going to run back on the apps. They're going to find a new relationship to repeat the same problems that they've already had in their life. So dating apps are just a modality to connect. It's really what you do with it that matters, and the approach that you take to your self-growth and self-awareness that's going to ultimately lend to your relationship health.
Thank you so much, Megan, but please stick around. Author Megan Wex will stay with us right here after the break. And when we come back, what would it cost to put your dating life in the hands of experts? We'll let you know right after the break.
The massive aid bill for Ukraine passed by the U.S. Congress ensures the conflict will continue. Countless lives will continue to be lost. But will this aid alter the events being played out on the ground? There is no reason to believe so.
What is Bharat? Is it a travel ad? Is it a Bollywood poster? Is it the deepest yoga center in the world? Or is it something deeper, more complex, multifaceted? Let's talk without cliches. Let's talk Bharat.
Наша команда состоит из двух человек. Это Станислав Березкин, Новосибирск, и я, Томск. Но мы понимаем, что идеальный, оптимальный состав – это 4 человека, поэтому принято решение, что 2 человека могут к вам попадать на разных этапах в качестве членов сменного экипажа.
За пересечение экватора!
Проигратая гип-гип!
Ура!
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 Мы сейчас в Рабате. Я балку укрепляю. Тут немножко потекли заклепки.
And a floating catamaran.
Float inflatable.
That is a little bit crazy.
It's crazy. No, it's not crazy. This is absolutely crazy.
Boy,
это?
Это наш улов за ночь.
Слушай, ничего, вот это прям вообще свеженькое.
Я потрогал дельфина!
Надеюсь, что это все-таки вирус, а не ковид.
Волна метра 3,5 была.
Но
мерзко.
А, вон, она прикипела аж вся.
Здесь нет,
вот эту вилку нижнюю оторвала.
Мы сейчас просто не понимаем, а что дальше-то? Вот мы на судне, мы живы. А экспедиции что, конец, что ли?
With television shows like Million Dollar Matchmaker and Indian Matchmaking, many singles who are tired of swiping right are turning to professionals to outsource their love lives. While dating apps are getting pricier, they're actually still cheap compared to traditional matchmakers. The vast majority of matchmaking companies start at around $10,000, and the most elite and largest companies charge over $25,000, with some even charging $250,000. The industry as a whole lacks transparency, and most will not share statistics on their success rates. Results from matchmakers tend to overall be of a higher caliber than those on dating apps, as both parties have invested significantly to try to find the right life partners. Matchmakers prioritize lifestyle when it comes to making a match. This includes things like when you like to go to bed, how you stay in shape, if you want kids, where your ideal date is, etc. Now, next would be family values. These include things like work ethic, how close is your family, as well as how do religion shape your fundamental beliefs. And finally, matchmakers look at communication styles. This obviously refers to how a person communicates, but in this case, it is more about what is your love language. Is it words of affirmation, gifts, acts of services, etc. While this isn't a guaranteed equation for love, these aspects tend to yield better results than your standard Bumble or Hinge questionnaires. And while most people are looking for love, there are some that are just looking for companionship. The number of sugar dating sites have tripled in recent years as people try to capitalize on this growing trend. Now, a sugar baby is someone who receives gifts, including cash, in exchange for company. A sugar daddy is typically a wealthier, older man who can provide allowances or a fixed amount every week or month, depending on the arrangement and the number of dates. While sugaring ranges from hand-holding and cuddling to full-on sexual encounters, sugar daddies usually seek companionship. Sites like Seeking Arrangement indicates that the average sugar daddy is 38 years old and earns around $250,000 annually, while the average sugar baby is 25 years old and receives $2,800 monthly from their sugar daddies. There's also the possibility of it morphing into a long-term relationship, and in rare cases, even marriage. Today, you have girls on TikTok glamorizing the sugar baby lifestyle, revealing the growing trend of young women seeking financial support from older men due to societal emphasis on youth and beauty. So for this and more, let's bring in again Megan Wex, relationship coach and author of TheManFunnel.com. Now, Megan, aside from apps, there are also traditional matchmaking services. How do matchmaking agencies differentiate themselves in the market, and how do they attract clients?
Matchmakers can be a great modality to meet someone. They tend to be a pretty hefty investment. And to differentiate themselves, they're often touting that they have candidates who are not only commitment-oriented, but financially abundant. Now, many of these same candidates are online, and they're right under your nose on Match.com or some other app that's in your area, because daters are experimenting with apps online, but they may not have the skills. And if they have the financial ability to have someone do some of the elbow grease for them, they will, and it can work for them, okay? However, if you're not having success meeting people in other ways and connecting, and your relationships are fizzling out, okay, frequently, and you're seeing some of these patterns of toxicity showing up in your relationship, it would be wise to, again, do your inner work first, because if you're paying a lot for a matchmaker and you haven't, oftentimes it's sort of like paying for a very expensive Cupid's bow, an arrow, to hit you and bounce right off of you. It's like, you know, the arrow has a rubber on the end of the tip. So instead of going to your heart, it just bounces off. And that's my concern with the matchmaking industry, is that people are going there as a last resort oftentimes, and maybe they're saving, they're having their parents make this investment for them, but it may not work because of those reasons. So if you are getting traction in other ways and you know you've had great relationships and you're just like a really busy professional who could use this customized support, customized matches, and also, like, it's wonderful to not have to do it alone and have that person with you, a matchmaker or a couple people who work with the matchmaker. It's really nice to have that hand holding. So for certain people, it can absolutely be effective. But those are my warnings on what I want you to think about before hiring a matchmaker. I just had a client meet someone, and she really put herself out there over and over and over again, and she stayed the course, and it wasn't easy. I think that I was concerned that how is she going to keep, you know, doing this? And she found love because she was steadfast. She stayed on her course. She stayed grounded in her own value. She knew what she wanted. She invested in learning how to communicate this without embarrassment, without shame, just sharing what she truly wanted. And she found love.
Now, the concept of sugar daddies and companionships have risen in popularity. How would you describe the financial dynamics of these relationships and what draws individuals to participate in them?
I think that going through the process of finding someone and facing the rejection is hard on anybody's ego or psyche. It's really difficult. And then again, if a person is not doing their inner work, they're going to be seeing these patterns of toxicity show up in their relationships over and over again. An easy out is to have more control in your relationship. And if you're paying for your relationship, so to speak, you know, you have power with that monetary exchange, power to silence the other person, power to keep them needing something. And so this is a dynamic where the less powerful person in the relationship will go along with that person. So I think you might be finding people with higher levels of disordered narcissism, for example, which is increasing in our society, or either the awareness of it is increasing. It's hard to know. I think probably both. And people who aren't going to look within, never will look within and improve their end of the contribution toward the toxicity in relationships. It's so much easier just to get some sugar babies, or, you know, we have a OnlyFans site where people can pay for experiences to feel admired, because these people who are on these sites, they're professionals at making you feel good. They're professionals of giving you that dopamine hit. They know how to make a person feel really good to come back for more. And it's very easy to just fall into that trap as a purchaser, because it feels so good and you don't have to deal with the icky, sticky challenges of real intimacy.
And what are the potential challenges and benefits of such unconventional relationships from a financial perspective?
Well, the challenge would be that ultimately at some point you might learn that the person doesn't really love you for you. And I think it could be hurtful, but you might be just addicted, and then you might replace that one with another sugar baby, and you have like this secret hope in the back of your mind that maybe it could amount to something even. But the person on the receiving end of, you know, the money is truly putting on a show for you. And I think it can be confusing, but also addictive. And that is one of the fallbacks. It keeps people from moving forward with a real live relationship, or someone they can have a family with, someone who can be with them through the highs and lows of their life. Because when they close their computer after their experience, their 30-minute experience with the sugar baby, for example, or whatnot, you know, they're really out in the world alone again. Now, on the flip side, there's a site called Seeking Arrangements, and in New York City, this is why something like that is popular and may even be socially accepted more so than maybe in other markets, because the cost of living is so high that even a woman who has a great career still can't necessarily live a high level of lifestyle because of rents and food and anything. Entertainment is so incredibly high. I happen to know a couple, and she had a great career, but she was on the site and she did meet someone who was very financially abundant, and they're married with children now.
Now that technology plays such a significant role in modern matchmaking, are there certain concerns or considerations related to data privacy and security in the matchmaking industry? And how do these factors impact the cost of these services?
I have a concern for matchmaking companies because of technology. In particular, there's Google reverse image search. So you can, if you're sent certain candidates or you have access to a database, for example, you can figure out so much about that person. And this leads me to believe there may be some challenges in how matchmaking sites and companies will be able to maintain, you know, their privacy when trying to connect people, when people can sort of go in a roundabout way and communicate with candidates. So I think technology could pose a little bit of an injury to the industry in ways like that.
Thank you so much, Megan Rex, author, for your time today. While hopeful singles turn to the internet in search of romance, some internet users see online dating sites as opportunities to take advantage of people. Catfishing is quite common, where a person attracts a date using a highly photoshopped or sometimes a completely different photo than their own. This often leads to confusion and disappointment when the person who shows up to their date looks completely different, often much worse than the original profile picture. Around 1 in 10 adults in the U.S. said that they have been catfished online. While most of the time this is completely harmless, sometimes catfishers will use this as an opportunity to extort money or blackmail from a victim. So while the digital era has made so many tasks easier and more productive, the goal of finding love still remains elusive. And unfortunately, dating sites and dating apps have monetized the desperation of singles and have turned it into a lucrative business model that fails to prioritize people's happiness. I'm Christy I. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.